Bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't
wizard,
care. I don't.
Wizard.
I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners. And I can still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
It's the Bet the Board Thursday night, week 3 edition, powered by Bet Online. Of course, we will have special guest Dave Mason with us in a matter of minutes. Remember, you can subscribe to the Bet the Board podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, or visit us at our unofficial home at toddstake.com. The man you're about to hear, he needs no real introduction. You can follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider. Payne, how you feeling over there this morning down in Miami?
A little sick. Weather's coming in. A little rainy. Hopefully that doesn't impact the big game this weekend in the AFC East.
You know, we figured by week 3 you should be in mid-season form at this point, so all those sicknesses should be an afterthought. That stamina should be built up, the workout regimen, the diet, everything it takes to get through the 20-plus week that is the NFL grind.
It already feels like week 10.
I'm not sure if that's good or bad. We're not quite in midseason form yet. But, Payne, I'll tell you one team that sure as hell didn't look like they were in midseason form on Monday night as we put a bow on what was week 2, the Indianapolis Colts. What do we make of this team right now who goes on the road to Tennessee this weekend, 0-2, and that offense has looked like it's been stuck in quicksand since the first snap of the season?
Well, they're struggling on both sides of the ball in the trenches. We talked about the Arthur Jones loss in the defensive line. That was going to be big. Their offensive line has been an issue for God knows how long. They continue to draft wide receivers. So I think it's going to be an issue moving forward. I really do. It's tough to build that consistency if you can't give Andrew Luck time. Granted, he's making a lot of mistakes, but he has to force the ball down the field when you're playing from behind. Some of those mistakes on him, some of the mistakes kind of a combination of the pressure that's coming into him and not being – you got to really secure that ball. That's part of his issue. This is a huge game. We've seen some steam on Tennessee, obviously. Be interesting to see how low this gets.
And we talk about teams as surprising 2-0 starts and 0-2 in the Colts case, but the Colts aren't alone as far as teams a lot of people had high expectations for coming into the season. The Baltimore Ravens sitting 0-2, they'll host the Cincinnati Bengals this week. Philadelphia 0-2, they go on the road to take on the aforementioned Jets. Any of these teams you think their early performances indicative of what we're going to see, or can these teams turn it around? I'm not even going to put Seattle in there, because when you're a 14-point favorite against the Bears, you get Cam Chancellor back. We know they're going to get into the win column this weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the Eagles, there's some room for concern when it comes to the actual team. We talked about this on Monday's podcast. The division isn't going anywhere. It's not going to run away from them, so they have time to right the ship here. But the Eagles' offensive line is a problem. Chip Kelly's ego was an issue, not bringing back Evan Mathis. The Ravens, this is the make-or-break week for them. I really feel that way. Injuries are just crushing them. But this is a big game this week. We'll talk about it more in depth. This is another one of those bookmaker lines that we've seen similar to that Arizona Saints game in week 1. But the Ravens, this is their week. I think this is make or break in that division.
And we're not always glass half empty guys on this podcast. Plenty of surprises on the 2-0 front, the Jets, Panthers, and, well, I guess the Falcons for most casual bettors would be a surprise, but I believe you told us that this team was definitely a side worth watching in the NFC South this year.
Yeah, big Falcons fan this year. Love the coaching regime change, everything about it. You just see this defense. Well, there might not be a ton of talent there. They've drafted some in the last few years. But just the culture change, watching them swarm to the ball, gang tackle, you can tell everything is different there. The offense now needs to pick it up a little bit. Tevin Coleman out could hurt some things. We saw Matt Ryan with some erratic passes that could have cost them that week 1 game interception in the end zone and in the red zone in the second half. So those you kind of expect to be nipped in the bud when you're talking about Matt Ryan. But really, really like the Falcons this year.
And two other teams real quickly. You buying either the Jets or Panthers 2-0 starts of the season?
buying the Jets, absolutely. Huge Todd Bowles fan. We saw him down here in Miami in 2011 as an interim head coach. They chose to go with Joe Philbin instead of making him the full-time guy. We know what he can do on the defensive side of the ball. We saw what he did in Arizona. And this defense for the Jets is just a beast. Can only go so far with their quarterback situation, but I think this is going to be a team that competes, that's there all year long. They're going to be a tough out. Carolina, not so much. The football gods took away Kelvin Benjamin and some of those other Star Lulatelli at the beginning of the year, but they've giveth in the first few weeks. You face Blake Bortles. Last week you get Ryan Mallett, and it looks like this week you potentially get Luke McCown, so they could very well start 3-0, and we know all the sharp bettors really like their season win total under. Still time to do that at 8.5, but a definite surprising start with Carolina.
Yeah, they'll have a fortuitous bounce this weekend if Drew Brees is silent against the Saints. But, Payne, you did mention being a fan of the Jets and potentially buying into Todd Bowles. You know who we're huge fans of on this podcast? Our friend Dave Mason from Bet Online. He joins us each and every Thursday to talk about sportsbook liability, some of the sharp positions, how the house did over the weekend. And, Dave, I know the professionals fared exceptionally well on Monday night betting the Jets, betting that game under. But what kind of weekend was it for the house and the man behind the counter?
Hey, fellas. It was a good weekend for the house. NFL week one, the first Sunday of the season, definitely went to the players. But the house came back and had a good weekend, especially, you know, all those home dogs are covering and winning outright. Whenever that happens, you can rest assured that the house is doing all right and the public is having a rough day. You know, the Browns, the Redskins, Jaguars, Raiders, Jets, they all came through big for the house. On a positive note, the bettors did have the two biggest wins on Sunday with the Patriots and Packers. But, overall, it was definitely a good week for the house, which happens over the season. You know, the players are going to have rough weeks like last weekend, and they're going to have good weeks like NFL week one. It goes up and down. As long as the players are concentrating on good money management and getting the best number available, if they're going to minimize losses on the rough weekends and maximize their winnings on the good weekends.
Well, it's a good thing then you have those generous reload bonuses for new players or players that have been with the brand for a little while. But as we look towards week three, Dave, what's the early action report look like? Any sides or totals seeing unusual action, whether it be from public bettors or some of the sharper guys, that or some of the guys that Payne tries to give the early information to so they can get the best of the number?
Right. Tonight, you know, tonight's a big game. We got a big decision tonight. The public's on the Giants, about 70% of the action's on New York over the Skins. So I guess the bettors still are a little feeling out the Redskins there, and I guess they feel the Giants are going to come back and win for once. Sunday, they have their faith in the road favorites again. The Steelers, the Falcons, and the Broncos are all the biggest plays of the weekend so far. That's all about, I mean, those bet counts, we're talking about 9-1 bet counts on those teams mentioned. So, you know, they're off the Rams. They loved the Rams last weekend because of their performance week one. They loved the Rams last weekend, and now this weekend the bettors have lost faith already on them. And then, of course, the Cowboys with their injury problems. Everybody likes the Falcons, as Payne was saying. You know, there's probably some sharp action on the Falcons. Sharp bettors like the Falcons this year, it looks like. And the Broncos over the Lions. The Lions have been dismal, so people are liking the Broncos.
Yeah, Payne, you brought up an interesting question this week in some of our discussion, talking about what the betting handle looked like for the late games after the NFL made the start time, claiming they wanted more eyeballs on there, that I thought was a fascinating discussion that maybe Dave can shed a little bit of light on for us.
Yeah, I mean, to a lesser extent than a slot machine, the more dollars cycled through the machine, the more it's going to make. And we've seen in the last few years, NFL pushed those games back to 4:25 p.m. It's allowed bettors to kind of chase their 1 p.m. losses or attempt to double them up. How has that impacted volume and revenue for betonline.ag?
It's been great. We knew when the NFL changed that, right? We knew when the NFL changed that rule that it was just going to be a great thing for the house, and it's proven to be such. I mean, like you said, I mean, so many people, you know, just bet their bankroll on those 1 o'clock games, and they determine what they're going to bet on 4 o'clock. I mean, they know what they're going to bet, but they have all their money invested on the 1 o'clock games, and And once it just gives so much more time for those 1 o'clock games to be graded. If they're winners, great. Now they have X amount of dollars in their account to fire away on the late 4 o'clock games. Or if they didn't fare so well, it gives them an extra 10, 15 minutes to reload their account and, of course, take advantage of one of our great reload bonuses. Sorry for the shameless plug there.
Dave, that's what we have you on this podcast for, is those shameless plugs.
Hey, man, that's what I'm all about. So, we're talking probably, an extra 20, 25%, maybe as high as 30% extra action coming in on that 425 game compared to what it would have been if it was, earlier in the hour. So, yeah, it's huge. Now, how does that fare on margin? The team still has the coverage. Sometimes it's good for us, sometimes it's bad, but in the long run, it's great for the house as long as you have more guys betting no complaints here. Let's get the 405 games down to 425. That's what we'd like.
It's definitely an interesting betting trend when you talk about having an opportunity for the players to kind of chase some of their losses. We always preach discipline on this podcast. We know it's one of the toughest skills to master. But you mentioned shameless plugs, Dave. Here's your chance. What's going on this weekend at Bet Online?
Well, of course, we're going to have live betting on every NFL game, just like we do every weekend. And our live betting, it's not just during timeouts like other books. We actually have the odds open all game long. So, there's a pick six real quick and get on there and try to get down on the fresh odds as our odds makers update the odds second by second. The earliest openers, I don't think we've talked about that yet, but tune in Sunday once the games are going, check out the site on Sunday, even though the games are going on, and we're going to have the earliest open for the following week's college lines and most likely the following week's NFL lines. And, of course, our special bonuses are still going on till the end of the month, so get on them. If you don't have a BetOnline account, use bonus code ATB75 for a 75% welcome bonus. Of course, if you already have a BetOnline account, you're in need of a reload before the end of the month, use BTB50 for a 50% bonus. All the terms and conditions and more information on those specials can be found at www.betonline.ag/bettheboard.
David, it's always a pleasure getting your take from the book's perspective as we head into yet another busy weekend of the NFL season. And while most of our listeners aren't rooting for the house each and every Sunday, I can typically tell you that when things break well for you guys, Payne and I end up in the black for a football weekend. So best of luck, and we'll have you back same time next week, my friend.
All right, fellas. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Payne, it's always good to get Dave's perspective on what exactly the house is rooting for on the weekend. Of course, things can change with a moment's notice as we do these podcasts on Thursday. I know the Sunday handle a little bit different. But judging by his strong sentiments, it looks like the books are going to be big-time St. Louis Rams fans this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we know the market is fluid, just like the stock market's going to change, could change at any minute. I think for Dave's benefit, he will get some action on the Rams and help even him out. I would presume that they'll probably close a favorite in this game. Obviously, you get Le'Veon Bell back, but St. Louis, big week one win, lost some focus last week. Trey Mason back, potentially Gurley back for a few plays this week. I think Foles should have some success against that Pittsburgh Steelers defense and specifically their secondary. And I think Dave will probably be happy as well as the rest of the BetOnline folks.
Yeah, for me, I think this game boils down to the Rams' defensive line, and this may be one of the first times that the Steelers' offensive line is actually tested. Had a chance to listen to an interview with Greg Cosell, who said Ben Roethlisberger may be the best-performing quarterback through the first 2 weeks of the season, but let's be realistic here. The 49ers didn't bring a whole lot of pressure. We knew that the Steelers had extra time to prepare. And New England, I know Chandler Jones is having a big season, and the Patriots have shown the ability to get to the quarterback a bit, but an animal completely different in the St. Louis Rams.
Absolutely. That's the strength of the St. Louis Rams team. Secondary needs to shore some things up, but Aaron Donald on that defensive line, there's a great piece on him this week, potentially surpassing J.J. Watt in terms of effectiveness by the analytical gurus. So St. Louis, great defensive line. That's where this game is going to be won. And most of games in the NFL are won in the trenches. I know we have a lot of ball watchers these days with the fantasy thing taking off, but games are won on the offensive and defensive line.
Yeah, when we start seeing daily fantasy and everything else include offensive line components for pancake blocks and everything else, then we know the big uglies are really getting their due diligence. And, of course, Payne, you mentioned defense being a key and being able to win the battles in the trenches. A team that has done that successfully for years, the Baltimore Ravens. Well, they've fallen on a little bit of tough times. They're a 2.5-point favorite. You have to lay $1.15 right now at BetOnline, total of 44.5, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a role the Ravens have thrived in as a home favorite the last 38 times they've been here, 34-4 straight up. Is this a buy-low opportunity for Baltimore, or is what we've seen from the Ravens weeks 1 and 2 what we're going to see more of over the course of the regular season?
We know about the Ravens' success specifically at home, but this defense, you get some injuries in the preseason to the secondary. You lose Haloti Ngata. You lose Terrell Suggs. I think it's going to be tough coming back from that. But this, we talked about a little earlier, this is a bookmaker's number. Cincinnati 2-0 hasn't been overly impressive. You beat the Raiders. Didn't look great last week. But this, for me, is Baltimore or nothing. Most likely I'm on the sidelines here. I know we talked to one guy that really loves the Cincinnati Bengals this year, and this is just a pure number grab for him at 3. I respect his opinion on Cincinnati, but this, for me, feels like a last stand. Really tough schedule for Baltimore. Aren't they on the road again on Thursday?
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround, another divisional game on the road at Pittsburgh. So schedule makers doing this team absolutely no favors. You mentioned the change in personnel. Joe Flacco doesn't appear comfortable with some of his weapons. But I'd echo your same sentiments. I think it's Ravens or pass here. And I'd actually even explore the first half angle, because if Baltimore were to be down at the break, I'm not quite sure what they'd have left in the tank to try and come back. But for Baltimore, struggles to start the season. A team right up the highway from them, the Philadelphia Eagles, no strangers to early season struggles. The Eagles, a 2.5-point underdog. You can get it even money right now at BetOnline. Totals come down from the peak of around 48 to 45.5. But, Payne, this was a game where the Eagles would have been 2.5-point road favorites before the entire world fell in love with the Jets win over the Colts on Monday night.
Yeah, this is one of those huge overreaction games. Obviously, Philadelphia looks horrible on national TV in that 4 p.m. time slot Sunday. Jets look like world beaters on Monday night. Tough turnaround, short week. But the question mark here is Philadelphia's offensive line against the Jets' strength, their defensive line, Todd Bowles. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, Bowles is blitz-happy dude. He's going to come at them with some crazy schemes. It'll be interesting to see if Philadelphia's offensive line can pick them up. But this is clearly a buy-low spot on Philadelphia. DeMarco Murray, big question mark. But for me, with Chip Kelly's offense, I really like Darren Sproles out there. So this could be addition by subtraction. I like that move in the Falcons game when they went pass-happy in the second half. Sproles was out there much more than he was in the first half. So it'll be interesting to see. I think if I could get a normal-priced 3, Philadelphia would be intriguing to me.
I know both you and I ascribe to the theory in the NFL. Sometimes the best bets you can make are the hardest to stomach, and I have to imagine for a lot of folks, much like ourselves that were sitting on Philadelphia last week, tough to go back to that well, but I do think this number a huge overreaction, and I would agree with you. I think Philadelphia at a natural 3 makes an awful lot of sense, and given some of the public money we're seeing, that may be a reality as we get closer to Sunday. Payne, a big game in your backyard in that 4:25 Eastern time slot, Buffalo and Miami locking horns. Miami comes into this game 1-1 along with the Bills. This number's gone back and forth, 2.5 to 3, 2.5 juiced -20 out there right now. Totals come down a bit to 43, but how do these two teams match up with one another?
Two teams with lofty expectations. This is kind of that first make-or-break game for them in the season. Miami is dealing with a ton of issues. Offensive line's banged up. They already have issues at both guards. They rushed Brandon Albert back. They're not going to have a left tackle this week. That doesn't bode well when you're facing Buffalo's defensive line. On the defensive side of the ball, they haven't been able to stop the physicality up front. They're getting ran on. Cameron Wake has a hamstring issue. So it'll be interesting to see if Buffalo and their physicality really, really gives it to Philbin and his really spread it out, soft style of football. We know Rex Ryan's come into Miami with much lesser teams and prevailed. Buffalo in this spot as the trendy dog here, which is a little surprising, but Ryan Tannehill, ankle issue. He's going to play. Won't be 100%, but this is an interesting one to monitor. Some weather could potentially be coming in on Sunday, so that's one thing you want to monitor with this total. I think if you did like the under, more first half than full game,
Man, you stole my thunder there. I was going to make a strong case for looking at that first half total for a lot of the reasons you outlined, talking about the physicality potentially wearing down the Dolphins, but knowing early on both teams probably somewhat reluctant to make mistakes. This will be Tyrod Taylor's first road start. And while going into Miami isn't exactly like going on the road at Arrowhead or playing in Seattle, I have to imagine Rex Ryan realizes that, you know, he's going to run the ball and rely on his defense to try and make plays. I don't think there was a unit that embarrassed themselves more last week than Buffalo after all their talk, then giving up 40 points to New England, proving it still is the Patriots' domination of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the home opener for the Dolphins, though, so it will be a packed house, barring some weather. For me, this is just a really, really tough spot for me to get on Miami with all their injuries. Jordan Cameron, another one you can add to the list with a groin issue. If he does go, he won't be 100%. If he doesn't go, my feeling is they're going to try to get Deion Sims to get past his concussion test. And if he does not, you're looking at a practice squad tight end. There's a lot of issues going on with Miami right now.
And you talk about issues, I guess two teams, I don't know if both of them have had major issues, but they are heavy underdogs, and this is kind of more a philosophical question, Payne, when it comes to double-digit favorites in the NFL. We see two large numbers. New England, a 13.5-point favorite, playing host to the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a role New England has struggled in, going 2-8 against the spread the last 10 times they've been double-digit favorites. And then a wounded Seattle team laying 14 in the hook right now at BetOnline, total of 43.5, as Jimmy Clausen leads the winless Chicago Bears into the Pacific Northwest. How do you go about handicapping these? We know pros typically avoid double-digit favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a few years ago, you could basically blindly take double-digit dogs in the NFL, and it would be profitable. Not completely the case moving forward. We got one last week with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. More so a buyer on Jacksonville this week, with New England kind of off their Super Bowl last week, looking to Dallas next week. I think Jacksonville might be in a decent spot. We saw most of the 14s grabbed a little bit. Seattle, huge game for them, obviously. Not running to lay it with them. This is a huge number, but I do think they get healthy this week. I certainly want no part of Chicago. For me, would if I had to choose between the two double-digit dogs, it would be Jacksonville as opposed to Chicago.
And for correlation purposes, I think you mentioned a good point. I won't look to lay double digits, especially north of two touchdowns where that Seattle line is. But the correlation here, you'd have to imagine the defense will be the unit that gets them the cover in this particular spot. I can make a compelling case if you happen to find a 14.5 out there for the Bears team total under. Things could go downhill in a hurry for Jimmy Clausen in this type of environment. And I'd have to imagine Bears fans wouldn't be surprised if Jay Cutler was going to nurse this hamstring injury just to avoid playing against the Seattle Seahawks defense.
They're already talking about the number one pick here, so you know. That's already the narrative.
I can't wait till Christian Hackenberg is taking snaps at Soldier Field next year as the number one overall pick for the Chicago Bears.
Well, it'll be an interesting week. Jimmy Clausen, known to toss the ball around a little bit, would not be shocked with Cam Chancellor back. We see Seattle get in the end zone on the defensive side of the ball.
And Payne, one final game I wanted to get your more comprehensive thoughts on. I know we don't have a chance to get to each and every game on the slate all weekend. Denver takes their 2-0 record on the road, a little bit of extra rest. They'll go into the Motor City, the Lions' home opener on Sunday Night Football. We've seen the 3.5s disappear from the market. Current price, Denver, 3-point favorite. You do have to lay $1.20 there at BetOnline. Total in this game, 44.5. Can you make a compelling case for trying to bet the dog even though the hooks have disappeared?
I think they'll come back. I would presume they'll come back, and I think the sharp side will be Detroit here. Tough for me to swallow that with the extra time. We know about the Detroit woes on the offensive line. Matthew Stafford really, really beat up. Denver's strength is going to be the edge rush, so it could present some issues here. But from a spot situation, I think Detroit's going to be the side of the professional, especially as this ticks back up and you can get 3.5.
And you mentioned Stafford's health. I know we talked about it a little bit on Monday, discussing what Tony Romo was worth the line. But to kind of create a comparison between those two, if Matt Stafford was out for this game, are we talking about a 4- and 5-point adjustment? And then Tony Romo, 6, 6.5 points, just to kind of refresh people's memories on his absence and what that'll mean to the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think Romo is in that six range. There's not much behind him. There's certainly some better quarterbacks in the NFL. Same thing with Stafford. I don't think Stafford's that great. We've seen he hasn't been a monster if you're betting on him against the spread since the start of his career. If you were to bet $100 on every single game that he started, you're down about $1,500. But there's just not much there in terms of a backup with Orzlowski. Rib injury for him. He's going to give it a go. I think Detroit's the side here at 3.5.
And an interesting game. I mean, clearly, Payne, you sounded brimming with confidence at the prospects of backing a Dan Orlovsky or Kellen Moore-led offense for the Lions on primetime. But you mentioned sitting this one out. I think that's probably the best idea. We know that Denver's going to get a ton of support from the public, especially in the standalone primetime spot on Sunday night. And have to imagine folks like Mr. Dave Mason will be looking to root in the Detroit Lions as a live dog. We did take questions this week from our loyal listeners of our podcast, and a couple very interesting points brought up. One came in from Ben Blombardi, and it says, we talk a lot about teasers. He kind of wanted to know about teasing through key numbers, you know, what we do with big favorites. And as he put it, and paraphrasing, of course, is it free money to tease New England down with Seattle this weekend?
I think the big thing here with your teasers is you're obviously looking to get through multiple key numbers, through the 3 and the 7. We have seen the data support going through the 0 on a home favorite of -3 and taking them to +3 and more. The data does support that, even though the golden rule is not to tease through the 0. For me, I would not use the New England to Seattle teaser this week, but that's just me personally. Aside from that, we still are using teasers. We're using them specifically to get more money down on the sides we really like. But it's something that you need to monitor as the market continues to tick upwards in the price you have to lay to play them. And then the new rules coming into play with games being a little more distorted with missed extra points and the two-point conversion kind of being attempted more in the NFL. So all things to monitor. Again, the market's fluid. The things you do in the market are going to be as fluid as well.
And we've definitely seen Coach Tomlin take to the new rules, going for two with alarming frequency, and then he decides he's going to give Josh Scobie a chance to kick an extra point and proceeds to pop it off the upright. Another good question came in, this one courtesy of Scott Blackman, about maneuvering lines, especially around key numbers early in the week. He kind of wanted to know, when do limits open up and when can you typically see some of the strongest positions? Of course, these are things that you and I, having been in the business for a while, take for granted, but I know a lot of our listeners aren't that familiar with how this process typically works at most sports books.
Yeah, and I think Scott's question is great. I talked about it, you know, the first few weeks and maybe took it for granted that people knew what I was talking about when talking about maneuvering. And we mentioned the Minnesota game last week against the Lions. Minnesota opened up a 3-point favorite. Having the luxury of the information that I have, I knew the price coming down was simply a little maneuver. We wanted to lay Minnesota at under a field goal. We were able to do that. Same thing with the Falcons-Giants game. We wanted to get that up to potentially take 3. It was available there on the bye. So basically, we're going to do things around these key numbers moving forward in terms of when limits increase. Those are going to be later in the week, Thursday, Friday. We are setting up a lot of things. We clearly are number grabbing early in the week, but anybody who says that the biggest positions don't come on Sunday are sadly, sadly mistaken. The biggest positions from the biggest groups are still coming in on game day. We saw that last week, taking the Eagles from -4, -4.5 out to 7. We saw it with the Bucks from 10 to 8, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah, it's always fascinating to see, you know, how much market manipulation does take place. The NFL, it happens just as much, but college football, anyone who's paid attention to the boards this year knows that these things have gone absolutely haywire with two-way action and what we see on some of the openers to where those games eventually end up settling by kickoff. And Payne, one thing, I know we want to take as much user interaction as we can, and we're actually exploring a pretty interesting option that we want to incorporate into the podcast this year, assuming producer Sam can get on the same page as the rest of the team. Maybe have some call-ins and allow people to submit their questions through the contact Todd portion of toddstake.com, you know, via Twitter. We want to try and hear what people are thinking and exactly what they kind of want to ask us each and every week throughout the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'll be a great segment. We'd love any and all questions you have. Submit them to Todd's Take. We'll go through them. And our goal, I think, would be to have a hand-selected question as the best question of the week, give you a phone number if you would like to come on, ask the question live, and maybe have a nice giveaway, whether it's a T-shirt or mouse pad, Bet the Board branded, some apparel, and we'll do that every single week to the best question of the week.
We're really moving up in the world if we're talking about Bet the Board swag being seen in your local sports books or watering holes around this fine country.
Like the Ma effing Jeffersons.
So keep that in mind, folks. You can submit those questions, and if we don't get to them that given week, if it's evergreen content, excuse me, that we can try and use moving forward, we definitely want to try and address some of your questions and concerns regarding the NFL wagering and the slate. Remember, if you're not following Payne on Twitter, do so as soon as possible. You can find him at Payne Insider. You can follow me at Todd Furman. And remember, subscribe to the Bet the Board podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, or check us out at our unofficial home, toddstake.com. And Payne, of course, what everybody tunes in for each and every Thursday, they like to get their weekend started in style. And tonight, what a doozy we have with the Washington Redskins going on the road to take on the New York Football Giants. This number right now at Bet Online, one of the lone 3.5s remaining, total of 44. We've seen some money coming on the dog. Fours were available earlier this week, now almost down to the key number of a field goal.
Yeah, I think when you look at this game, you have to propose two questions. Are the Redskins really improved with the huge upgrade in talent? GM Scott McLaughlin's been great there. And has the market, after two short weeks, hasn't been able to adjust enough? Or are we really buying what could be a 2-0 Giants team at a 0-2 market price in a must-win game against a team they've had success against? So I think you kind of need to start there and build on that. For me, we know we've seen some money, as you alluded to, on Washington plus four. It's a different game now at this price point. Kirk Cousins, can he move forward? We're talking about three wins and just 11 starts. The Giants have some issues with injuries. Will Beedy already out at left tackle. Ereck Flowers now looks like he's out, so you're down to your third-string left tackle. Last week, they moved Justin Pugh over from guard to left tackle, so that could be an issue this week, protecting Eli's blind side. So there's a lot of things you need to factor in this week. At this price point, don't have a ton of nuggets to give out. I don't know if you like anything in this game specifically.
I mean, I can make a slight case for the under here. Nothing that I'm nearly as bullish on as we were Monday night when we both kind of liked the Jets and thought it would be a lower-scoring football game. I think at 44, though, it doesn't offer you a ton of wiggle room. I just don't see a lot of big play potential from these two offenses. I know Odell Beckham, 12 catches, 143 yards, and three touchdowns last year against the Skins. But you know, I brought this point up to you during the middle of the week and asked point blank, do I buy into the Skins defense being the number one overall ranked unit in terms of yards allowed through the first 2 weeks? And your answer was?
I think you have to buy into them being number one. I don't know if that's going to be something that lasts the entire season. But when you bring in the pieces they did, with Scott McLaughlin being a huge analytical guy, he went out there, got Knighton. You get two corners, you get a safety, you get a linebacker. Everything is drastically improved on that side of the ball. When you talk about the Giants, it looks like Beeson's going to give it a go. He's going to be huge for them. But I think the missing piece is Rodgers Cromartie being out. That's a huge loss. We know this Giants team has a tough time creating pressure. With DRC and Prince, it kind of allows them to play on an island and manufacture pressure through blitzes. You can send Landon Collins down into the box, where that's kind of where he's most effective. We know Kirk Cousins, they're going to use and rely on the run game. It seems like they got a nice little two-headed monster going there now. They're not going to want him to turn over the ball. This is a tough, tough number for me here at 44. 45 would have been interesting. It's just a game that got beat up a little bit too much. I know a lot of guys right now are so high on Washington in this spot with the revenge angle. They've lost four in a row to the Giants. They grabbed the four. Some guys even have the Washington Redskins favored in this spot. I'm not that bullish yet. I need to see the culture change. I do. Yeah. I need to see the culture change. I think this is a make-or-break game for the Giants.
I think it's Kirk Cousins on the road having very little margin for error. So I know oftentimes you want to give people a way to either cap their week with a Monday night winner or get things jump-started in the right manner on Thursday. But it is a long season, and discipline is key. Rather than giving out a game that we're not going to be invested in ourselves, I think sometimes it's okay to sit on the sidelines, maybe identify a halftime angle, or figuring out something creative to do with your Thursday night. There is more to life than just NFL football on Thursday nights. I know, banish the thought.
Oh, that's brutal. Tuesday and Wednesday night, for the time being, are reserved for the lady friends and friends in general. And that might get swooped away once Maction takes the board.
How about this, guys? Tom Coughlin is 69 years old. Over under, does he last to 71.5 as the head coach of the Giants?
Oh, I'm hammering under, and I'm willing to lay $2.50 that says he's probably out by year's end and he gets one more season tops.
Ooh. Payne?
I agree with that. Eli Manning, I don't believe, is that guy. It'll be interesting to see him tonight under pressure. Really the definition of a fish out of water just flailing around out there.
And Payne, you mentioned those Tuesdays and Wednesdays for outside pursuits that aren't football related. I think a lot of our loyal listeners are going to appreciate a new segment we'll be adding on Monday. A little teaser there to talk about ways you should be spending your quality time when you're not watching or handicapping football. But we'll get to that in greater detail when the time is right.
The big tease. I like it.
Hey, we're trying to learn this podcast / radio, whatever the hell we want to call this business, a little bit as we go. So for Payne Insider, remember, follow him on Twitter, @PayneInsider. You can follow me on Twitter as well, @ToddFurman. This is your Week 3 Thursday Night Bet the Board podcast. Sam, cue that lovely music because we're going to see a lot of our listeners at the window. Oh,